Today is the feast of the dedication of St. Michael the Archangel. The epistle today is taken from the book of Apocalypse. In those days, God signified those things which must shortly come to pass, sending through his angel to the servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to whatever he saw. Blessed is he who reads, those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep the things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace be to you, and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is coming, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who has loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Please stand for the gospel. The gospel for today's feast is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 18, verses 1 to 10. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a small child to him and set him in their midst and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like little children, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoever therefore humbles himself as this little child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such little child for my sake receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it were better for him to have a great millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of scandals, for it must needs be that scandals come, but woe to the man through whom scandal does come. And if your hand or your foot is an occasion of sin to you, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is better for you to enter life maimed or lame than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if your eye is an occasion of sin to you, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is better for you to enter into life with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you, their angels in heaven always behold the face of my Father in heaven." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We hear regularly about how ancient many of our Catholic devotions are. And it cannot help but move us to see this unbroken lineage of all our forefathers in the faith. One of the fathers in the house yesterday read the story of St. Wenceslaus, good King Wenceslaus, whose feast day was yesterday. And it was moving to hear that this Bohemian duke who lived in the 900s was celebrating the feast of Saints Cosmas and Damian at the same time we do today, halfway around the world, over 1,000 years later. But when we talk about the devotion for today, it is so ancient, it is older than the church herself. Its origins go even to the Old Testament. in the book of Daniel. It recounts this apparition that the prophet received from an angel. It's believed to be Saint Gabriel. And this is the way it describes it. On the 24th day of the first month, I was at the banks of the great river, the Tigris. I looked up, and I saw a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold around his waist. His body was like crystallite, and his face shone like lightning. His eyes were like fiery torches. His arms and feet looked like burnished bronze. And his voice sounded like the roar of a multitude. I alone, Daniel, saw the vision. But great fear seized the men who were with me. They fled and hid themselves, although they did not see the vision. So I was left alone, seeing the great vision. No strength remained in me. I turned the color of death and was powerless. When I heard the sound of his voice, I fell face forward in a faint. But then a hand touched me, raising me by my hands and knees. Daniel, beloved, he said to me, understand the words which I have spoken to you. Stand up, for my mission now is to you. When he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Fear not, Daniel, he continued. For the first day you made up your mind to acquire understanding and humble yourself before God, and your prayer was heard. Because of it, I started out. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia stood in my way for 21 days until finally Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. A little later on in the book of Daniel, it says, Michael shall rise up, the great prince who protects the children of thy people. That's God's chosen people of the Old Testament, the Israelites, the Hebrews. He was the protector of the Hebrew people, Saint Michael. He was the protector that was sent with the Hebrews when they exited from their captivity in Egypt. When our Lord said, behold, I will send my angel who shall go before thee, the Lord said to Israel, Saint Michael. And the Hebrews had such a devotion to Saint Michael that even to this day, they pray to him. In the last prayers on their Day of Atonement, the Jewish people say this prayer, Michael, Prince of Mercy, pray for Israel, that it may reign in heaven, and that light which streams forth from the face of the King who sits upon the throne of mercy. And surely their prayers are heard. Surely Saint Michael, even to this day, is working tirelessly to lead them back out of their exile of error to the one true church because of this prayer to him. But of course, Saint Michael today, after our Lord has come to earth, after God became man, and the old law was fulfilled and ended, Saint Michael, of course, is no longer the guardian of the temple or the synagogue, but the guardian of Holy Mother Church. Our guardian, our protector. And this devotion, every country has special devotions to certain saints. St. Wenceslaus, for instance. Very popular devotion among the Czech people. But St. Michael is universal. You find devotion to St. Michael everywhere in the church. One Catholic writer said this, talking about the universality of this devotion. The Irish people have always held and still hold the captain of the heavenly hosts in great veneration, as is evidenced by the numerous ancient churches dedicated to him, and the frequency with which his name is given even now to their children. They termed him the High King of the Angels. In England, veneration of St. Michael was so popular and so widespread that in 1114, King Ethelred said that the 3 days immediately before the Feast of St. Michael, all Catholics were required to have a complete fast in preparation for the feast. Of course, in the Middle Ages, knights from every country dedicated themselves to St. Michael. The German people, too, have long been fervently devoted to the Holy Archangel. And, of course, St. Joan of Arc, the liberator of France, ascribed her vocation and her victories to St. Michael. 3 times he appeared to her in heavenly beauty and informed her that she was called to deliver her country. And so, going through the records of time, it would seem that almost every nation, as well as every individual, owes an immense debt of gratitude to the Marshal of Paradise. And it's not just in the Western Church either. Emperor Constantine, the son of St. Helena, he attributed his victories to the great Archangel Michael, especially his victory at the Milvian Bridge against the Emperor Maxentius, who was a pagan. And so what did Emperor Constantine do? He built an enormous church next to Constantinople in honor of St. Michael, called the Michaelion. And when the emperor had finished this great construction, the archangel appeared to him. St. Michael said, "I am Michael, the chief of the angelic legions and the Lord of hosts, the protector of the Christian religion, who, whilst thou wast battling against godless tyrants, placed the weapons in thy hand." This became a very famous pilgrimage site because many people, through the intercession of St. Michael, would be cured when they visited this church near Constantinople. Numerous pilgrimage sites are dedicated to St. Michael, who protects travelers. St. Michael visited the Bishop of Normandy in the Middle Ages and requested that a church be built to God in honor of St. Michael on an island off the shores of Normandy called Mont Michel. Such a popular heritage site that is what it was called even by the secular government, a World Heritage Site. So popular among pilgrims to this day. And of course, probably the most famous would be Monte Gargano in Italy, Naples, Italy. St. Michael visited the Bishop of Naples and told him that a certain cave on this mountain was under his special protection and that God wanted a church to be built there in honor of the angels and especially St. Michael. Once again, the site of many, many cures. And we'll talk a little bit more about that site in a moment. But why is this devotion so popular and so widespread? Well, St. Paul tells us in his epistle. He said, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness on high." But our allies are principalities and powers as well. Or they can be. If we call upon and invoke St. Michael and those legions of angels in his service. All the angels do his bidding according to the will of God. Even in Matins for today, it says, "This is the Archangel Michael, the leader of the angelic hosts. His veneration brings rich blessings to the nations, and his intercession leads to the kingdom of heaven. The Archangel Michael is the prince of paradise, and the whole city of angels holds him in honor. Because of this great victory he won over Lucifer and the devils. This battle fought in heaven. But that battle goes on today as well. In each one of our lives, the battle continues to be fought against principalities and powers. And so our hope lies in the power of this great victorious champion of heaven. Who will rally to us when we call upon him. Who's a special protector of this chapel with his statue in the back. But if we want to rely on his help, if we want to depend on him to come to us, then we have to avoid certain vices which are particularly repugnant to St. Michael. Pride and disloyalty. The great sins of Lucifer. You often see St. Michael depicted in his triumph over the devil. Stepping on the devil's head, sometimes holding chains to bind him. But occasionally you see him holding a scale in his hands. Because he participates in our judgment as well by the will of God, weighing our good deeds and our evil deeds. And although he is a great hero of God's mercy that comes to our rescue, just like all the angels reflect the perfections of God, St. Michael also can reflect God's justice and his just vengeance. In the year 590, a terrible pestilence was depopulating the city of Rome. It was unstoppable and virulent. And St. Gregory the Great, who was Pope at the time, said that they needed to lead a procession through the city to beg God's mercy. So this huge procession led by Pope Gregory himself, who was holding a statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Queen of Angels, was led through the city, and it went on and on and on as they prayed and chanted and asked God to free them from this plague. 80 people died just while they were walking in this procession. And then they came across the bridge across the Tiber River, leading back to St. Peter's. The bridge is called the Bridge of the Holy Angels today. And on this huge castle that's on the opposite side of the bridge, built by the Emperor Hadrian, his mausoleum, they saw a vision of St. Michael. And in answer to their prayers, they saw St. Michael sheathe his sword. And the pestilence stopped. The plague stopped from that day forward. So St. Michael is even sent to execute God's justice when his people are unfaithful, disloyal, proud, as the city of Rome was during that time. A statue commemorating this event still stands on this castle, Sant'Angelo, as it's called, to this day in Rome. And this beautiful bridge that they were crossing when he saw this vision, this bridge of the holy angels, and now it has 10 statues of angels lining it, holding the instruments of the Passion that you can see today. So we must call upon St. Michael for help. We must have true devotion to this great saint and this great protector. The priest at every Mass is reminded of this. At the Confiteor, he calls upon St. Michael. During the incense at the offertory, when he's blessing it at a high Mass, calls upon St. Michael, the one who holds the golden thurible at the altar of incense, offering that sweet fragrance of all our prayers to God. He is invoked. And then during the preface, of course, he calls upon all the angels under their great prince, St. Michael. After the consecration, he asked that the angels might bring this sacrifice and offer it to God. And of course, after every low Mass, because of Leo XIII, Pope Leo XIII, we recite the prayer to St. Michael. Constant reminder, constant repetition, telling us of how important this devotion is, especially in our times. For all times, Catholics have appreciated its importance, but especially for our times. As you know the story, Pope Leo XIII received a vision. He fell into a catatonic state, to an ecstasy. They didn't know if he was dead or not, the cardinals around him. And when he came out of it, he said he saw the most horrifying vision of Lucifer and his devils congregating over the city of Rome. And so he immediately composed the prayer to St. Michael and had those prayers after the Mass instituted after every low Mass. He also gave an exorcism, the Leonine exorcism, to all priests, apart from the solemn exorcism that's performed, requires the permission of the local bishop and so on and so forth. Apart from that, he gave this exorcism that could be said at any time, to help remove that demonic influence from a priest's church, a priest's parish. Going back to Mount Gargano in Italy, that place that was under the special protection of St. Michael, it was nearby the friary where Padre Pio lived. Padre Pio has been called by a famous preacher, he was called the modern gospel of the angels, because throughout his life he gave so many proofs of the existence of the angels, both the fallen angels who frequently assailed him and the good angels that came to his protection. And he was particularly devoted to St. Michael. Oftentimes, when people would come to visit him, he would send them to visit this shrine of St. Michael on Mount Gargano. And you could still see the power of St. Michael, even in his day, being exercised. There was a story that was recorded by an Italian Air Force lieutenant who came to visit this spot with several of his comrades, several of his friends. And he was not particularly devout, and especially not devoted to St. Michael. And so when they approached the shrine, his group of his friends, they went into the grotto, this cave of St. Michael. But he just lingered on the outside. And so he was visiting the gift shop, and he was looking at things to buy and trinkets and so on. Suddenly, he heard a terrifying scream, more of a howl, coming from his group at the shrine. Before he had a chance to turn around to see what was happening, he saw a horrible-looking creature, part animal, part monster. It ran past him with the speed of lightning to the choir balcony and then disappeared from sight into the valley below. The young man later learned that some members of the pilgrimage had brought a friend with them who they considered to be possessed of the devil. Their faith was not in vain. Saint Michael, who is credited with defeating Satan and the rebellious angels under the banner entitled "Who is Like God?" So the name Michael means, had won yet another battle and liberated another soul from the tyranny of the devil. Before this man's very eyes, so impressed was the officer that by the experience that he had in the grotto of St. Michael that he went tirelessly from group to group for a very long time, bearing witness to what he saw with his own eyes. If we are plagued by distractions at the Mass or in our prayers, we should call upon St. Michael, the terror of demons. How many examples have the angels given us of their eagerness to help us in our prayers, and especially at attending the Mass, when it comes to attending the Mass? St. Isidore the farmer, for the angels, his angels took over his work on the farm so he could attend Mass. There's a story of another farmer many, many years ago who had to travel a great distance to attend Mass through the snow during the winter. And as he was trudging through the snow on another day, he turned around and he saw his angel. And this angel was holding a basket full of roses. The angel said, "See, these roses represent every step you take to the Mass." And each rose represents also the glorious reward which awaits you in heaven, but far greater the merits that you have acquired from the Mass itself. All these little trials, all these little difficulties that we have to overcome to practice the true Christian life, they're held by our angels so that they might tip the scale on Judgment Day. There was a famous, he wasn't famous while he lived, but famous afterwards, exorcist, Father Szymanski, was constantly preaching the importance of devotion to the Holy Archangel Michael. He had said at one point in North Dakota, there was a priest who was trying desperately to create or to institute in his chapel a 24-hour devotion to the Blessed Sacrament. And as soon as he recommended it to his parish, the opposition was incredible. Everyone seemed to have a reason why they should not institute this. One particular ringleader of these people in the parish was saying, "This is ridiculous. This has never been done here." He said, "Save this for the cloistered convents who have nothing better to do." That's what he said to his priest. So what this parish priest did is took the advice of Father Szymanski, and he, before the next Sunday's Mass, he said, "I would like to say a prayer before the Mass starts, and I'd like you all to join me and kneel down." So they did. And he recited this exorcism of Pope Leo XIII. After he finished this and he offered the Mass, people lined up at the communion rail. Led by this ringleader of the laity. He came out to them. "What do you need?" He said, "I'd like to volunteer for 5 hours during the night for this 24-hour devotion. And all these people would like to volunteer as well. So that we can stand guard for the Blessed Sacrament." This is the prayer that he read from Pope Leo XIII. "Glorious Prince of the Celestial Host, Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in the conflict which we have to strain against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the world of darkness, against the spirits of wickedness of the high places. Come to the rescue of men whom God has created in his image and likeness, and whom he has redeemed at a great price, from the tyranny of the devil. It is you whom Holy Church venerates as her guardian and her protector, you whom the Lord has charged to conduct redeemed souls into heaven. Pray, therefore, the God of peace to subdue Satan beneath our feet, that he may no longer retain men captive nor do injustice to the church. Present our prayers to the Most High, that without delay they may draw his mercy down upon us. Seize the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. Bind him and cast him into the bottomless pit, that he may no longer seduce the nations." And with that, we'll end with the farewell that Padre Pio would give to many of the people who visited him. "May the angels of God be your light, help, strength, comfort, and guidance. And may they accompany you wherever you go. May God bless you."